Hello, Yaniv.
Hello, Ofer.
Are you familiar with mirror mazes? The ones you see in amusement parks where you have a mirror in front of you and a mirror behind you so you see yourself infinitely?
Yes, I am. These mirrors are kind of fun, but frankly, they make me dizzy.
That's how I feel today, in a way.
But I bet you're going to tell me why, right?
Yeah, because today we are trying to reconstruct the rationale according to which we created our podcast course. And the farther we look, the more and more images emerge.
Okay, I understand. So let's try to get to stay focused. What are we actually doing here?
In this episode, we will try to describe our podcast-based academic course. Some basic key sections of this course are already in place, so it's fairly easy to review the design and construction process we have gone through in the past few months.
Yes, if we do it well, this recorded episode will be helpful for others who aim to follow us and develop a similar course.
Exactly. If we do it well, this recorded episode can be used as a toolbox or even as a template or a manual for others.
But first thing first, let us present the syllabus of this course, or at least an optional form of a syllabus for such a course.
All right. I suggest we do this by answering the following three WH questions.
1.
Why did we design this course?
2.
What did we actually do in this process?
And 3, for whom did we prepare this course, right?
Exactly. But before we jump into it, let's clarify something about this episode.
Okay.
First of all, it's for our potential students. But even more so, it's for academic managers and decision makers who may consider including a podcast format course in their programs.
Sounds like a variety of programs. Can you tell us a little bit more about it? What kind of programs? In what fields?
You name it. I mean, this type of course is relevant to a broad variety of programs in many academic fields. Undergraduate, graduate, and certificate programs.
Sounds that it's really inclusive for business, management, history, literature, education, and many more fields, right?
Exactly, you are right.
So let's address the first question. Why did we do it? Why did we get into this type of unconventional project?
The simple answer is that the world seemed ready for a fully podcasted academic course. By ready, we refer to
the high accessibility of the technology which is required for producing and consuming such a course, namely,
the hardware and software are widely available virtually to anyone. More specifically,
on the economic side, the equipment has become really affordable.
The production software is now friendly, convenient, and easy to work with.
And finally, various applications and mobile apps are now popular and facilitate listening to a podcast-based course.
And on top of all this, the masses and students now accept this beautiful medium of podcasting and delightfully embrace it.
You know, when we started playing with this idea, we looked around for such a course that we could use as a prototype or as a model, remember?
Of course, we searched high and low across the academic universe and were quite surprised not to have found any.
But we did notice something else, significant and very clear, right?
Uh-huh. The podcast industry was and is booming. In the past few years, an enormous variety of podcast content has been produced, aired, and consumed across the world.
Although we're not here for the money, the growth of this industry is impressive. This is a $1 billion industry with tons of new productions every month, dozens of acquisitions, and new ventures.
To a large extent, it is about the popularity of podcasts. For example, most Americans, surveys reveal, listen to at least one podcast a month.
and the European market is shaping up with a steep subscription rate.
And shortly after we started to conceptualize our project, something very interesting took place.
Yes, that was huge. The Joe Rogan's Experience, one of the world's most popular podcasts, moved exclusively to Spotify in a $100 million deal. Remember that?
Sure. Joe Rogan is still alive and kicking and producing podcasts every week as we speak.
Hello, everybody. I have an announcement. The podcast is moving to Spotify.
Joe Rogan, one of the world's most popular podcasters, is making his show, The Joe Rogan Experience, a Spotify exclusive. This is huge industry-changing news. The show hasn't even been available on Spotify up until this point, and the company is reportedly spending potentially more than $100 million to bring it over. This means that if you want to listen to The Rogan Show, you're going to have to download Spotify. Now, you probably think more of music than podcasting when you hear Spotify's name, but this Rogan deal is actually an essential part of the company's plan to become the biggest name in audio. To understand why, we have to look at the big picture.
Do you remember, Yaniv? At first, we felt a bit like Dustin Hoffman in the iconic scene of the iconic film, The Graduate.
I just want to say one word to you. Just one word.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening?
Yes, sir, you.
Plastics.
Exactly, how do you mean?
There's a great future in plastics. Think about it. Will you think about it?
Yes, I will.
Enough said. That's a deal.
In the movie, they were saying, the future is in plastics. But the quote we heard was, the future is in podcasts.
But it is more than that. We felt, with our hearts and minds, that the world of higher education has become ready for this special medium.
And we realized that experts in the education and digital technology industries actually point in this direction.
Yes. Here, for instance, the Deloitte user-friendly show on deciphering digital education trends hosts several education experts and discusses how emerging technologies impact education, learning, and teaching.
Greg Merchant, a managing director at Deloitte Consulting, describes some of the transformations that education and society have gone through recently, and talks about a large-scale survey that Deloitte has conducted.
So, Greg, from what I understand, you are in four generations of teachers in your family. So, surprises, what did the survey tell you about the role of teachers in digital education?
Yeah, well, I could also tell you what advice four generations of teachers told me. They definitely let me know that there has been a mixed history of consulting involved in education. So as we sat around at Christmas dinner, I was told in no uncertain terms that I better make sure that I'm getting the teacher's perspective and not just looking at this from a completely external perspective. And I think we've done a good job of getting parents, teachers, and students involved in this particular survey. But one of the most important things that we found about this was that teachers overwhelmingly feel that education technology has impacted their role in the classroom in a beneficial way. And that was something we really wanted to understand better, is to see whether or not there was a general reticence amongst teachers to bring greater use of technology into the classroom because we felt maybe they believe that it diminishes their role, but we found the exact opposite. In fact, 70% of teachers said that it was either a very positive impact or a positive impact on their role in the classroom, and only 9% of teachers said that they felt that it had a negative impact, which when you think about the importance of being willing to experiment in the classroom and being willing to push the envelope to get towards the best solutions possible. That willingness, that embrace of technology by teachers is something that is absolutely critical.
And there was another reason why we got into this project. What was it?
Solely listening, as opposed to attending an audiovisual presentation, has unique pedagogical advantages. I know this may sound counterintuitive, but I can make the case.
This is indeed counterintuitive. What do you base this on?
I base this argument on a paper we both published together with Alona Forkosh-Baruch in a special issue about post-COVID-19 academic innovations.
Now, offer out of respect to our listeners' precious time, we will neither get into the details nor go through the full rationale, but it's all in the paper, which is titled Back to the Educational Future, a Marketing-Oriented Approach to Promote Distributed Learning.
Here is Steve Webb, a former superintendent of the Vancouver Public Schools that supports using podcasts in education and discusses this topic with teachers and educators.
Hello, and welcome to the Inside Vancouver Public Schools podcast. I'm Steve Webb, superintendent of Vancouver Public Schools. This episode is a podcast about podcasts. I spoke with two teachers who are using technology creatively to give their students a different way to synthesize information, work on collaboration and communication skills, and have fun. Here's our conversation. And our conversation focus today really is about the utilization of podcasts in an integrated unit focused on ELA standards and history standards. I really like the way in which we're thinking pretty strategically and creatively about not just leveraging the digital asset, the learning resources, in a manner that substitutes that technology for old technology, but more importantly, creates an opportunity for kids to either adapt or modify or sort of reinvent their learning,
Absolutely.
Which really
Absolutely.
Is getting at higher order thinking skills.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to the second question. What did we actually do?
We devised a full academic course that would be taught and delivered via podcast episodes.
We named it Intriguing Issues in Management.
Each episode encompasses one topic in management or social sciences.
A topic which is substantial enough to justify 2 to 3 academic class lessons.
Yet we have presented each of these topics very concisely, so we can thoroughly present their major aspects in a single episode.
Then we had to choose several specific topics, right?
Yes. Do you remember how long we discussed and argued until we came up with the criteria to select each topic?
Of course. It was quite a long time. But we came up with the following 4 criteria. Number 1.
The topic has to be relevant to the present business realm.
Number 2. The underlying explanations for the phenomenon discussed can benefit from a deep theoretical analysis.
Number 3.
Learning the topic should make contribution to curious students.
And number 4. Every topic we chose has to be outstandingly interesting, so we do not bore ourselves when spending hours researching and interpreting.
Then, after choosing a topic, we carried out the following 8 steps.
1. Cases. We searched for materials that would enable us to construct the episode in a case study format.
Step number 2. Research. We looked for substantial peer-reviewed research to incorporate.
3. Flowchart and script. We built a flowchart for the episode and we then wrote a script based on this flowchart.
Step number 4. Supporting materials. We look for supporting audio materials, such as interviews, talk shows, news stories, commercials, speeches, and much more.
Stage number 5, we stepped into our home studio and recorded the episode.
Step number 6, effects. We incorporated additional audio items, sound effects that enhance the desired atmosphere, and music that provide short breaks for listeners, our students.
Number 7, editing. We edited the episode, a tedious but very creative task.
And step number 8, the final step, uploading. We uploaded the episode to a podcasting platform such as Buzzsprout or Spotify that makes listening to the episode, to the course, a very convenient and great experience.
When we list this in this way, it sounds very time-consuming, but I don't recall it as an unpleasant experience.
It was indeed lots of work, but by no means it was unpleasant.
And we did it better and better and became more professional as episodes went by.
The point is that I think, and I guess you'll agree with me, that the result is quite interesting and effective.
I do agree with you.
Now, about question number 3 that we talked about before. Whom did we do it for?
Well, I could have been a doctor or a lawyer, playing golf with my rich friends at the club. But I had to be more stupid. Why can I have to be?
What are we implying? That our students were born stupid?
No, of course not. We don't think our students were born stupid. On the contrary, they are smart as hell.
In fact, some of them are smarter than us. Not only that, nowadays students can easily access numerous databases and platforms that provide them instantly with unprecedented amount of knowledge, anytime, anywhere.
From their laptops, iPads, or their phones.
Knowledge is literally at their fingertips.
I can almost hear a but coming.
However...
However is just a fancy but.
However, nowadays, many of our students, especially our target audience, have several other things that change their higher education processes, including...
jobs and demanding careers.
Families and demanding lifestyles.
Way too much screen time.
FOMO, the fear of missing out.
And the funny thing is that at the same time, they lack other things that seem to be more widely available when we were students. Remember?
I don't remember when we were students, but I do remember, or I can relate to what they lack that we had more. One is, of course, time, because they are quite busy with their work.
And the second thing is attention, because other things such as social media and Netflix draw their attention nowadays.
And thus, what they mostly need from us as their instructors is to be curators who collect, arrange, and dispense the material in an engaging manner that allows them to weave practice and theory.
More importantly, we need to provoke their imagination and their critical thinking.
We should provide them with intriguing opportunities to question the common wisdom and the traditional way of thinking.
And at the same time, encourage initiative and teamwork. Social skills are not overrated.
Finally, as educators, we must work hard to package it all in an effective and convenient way,
such that our students feel that it fits their lives, their lifestyles, and the digital modern environment, rather than halting them.
We're getting closer to the end of this introduction episode. What is the bottom line, Yaniv? What are the main takeaways?
Well, in conclusion, now it is up to you.
To me?
No, to you, the audience who are listening to us right now.
If you are one of our students, think of what you heard so far in lieu of a syllabus. Then, from this point, infer the learning outcomes of the other main episodes that follow.
Sounds like an unconventional syllabus.
Indeed, it is an unconventional syllabus. We agree that this is an unorthodox to involve students in figuring out the course's expected contribution as they prepare themselves for taking it. Usually, it is explicitly served to them.
Yes, but this is an unorthodox course, right? This course takes learning as seriously as it does teaching.
That's right. Now, if you are a dean, a professor, or a teacher whose students deserve and crave a new experience,
we surely hope that you found this innovative course format appealing.
We definitely hope that our listeners will enjoy studying through it as much as we enjoyed constructing it.
Thank you all for listening, and good luck.
Good luck in adopting new technologies and embracing podcasts.